This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. Almost time for us to wrap up, but I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Yuvraj,
and of course our producer is Christine Wong. She's with us for a few more minutes, as are we all. We have one more story, but before we get to that, we've got some more messages. Frida.
Okay, this is from Michelle Ho. Hi, Michelle. Smart home apps that have chip small level reliability and connections. Kejap ada, kejap tak ada. Now you see, now you don't. Kim here says, parking machines that don't accept new notes, are you telling they're counterfeit? And exactly, right? Sometimes he's like, this one, come this one ringgit is accepted, then it...
This one isn't.
It flies out and then you have to go...
You need to find like the clean one ringgit and you know, feed it there.
I don't know.
Funny. Hang on. When I was trying to insert money into the cash deposit machine the other day as well, it got through all of my notes apart from one and it spat the note out that was the cleanest and the newest.
It spits back you.
Right. And then in my wallet, I'd got one other spare one that had been folded and it was creased and I put that in, bing, no problem. I'm like... But why?
Yeah. How does it work?
How does this... What's
and
the logic behind
they're all
it?
The same size. Right? Amir Hamza Shamsuddin said, users who expect too much from tech, I don't think it's a case of expecting too much. You know, I just expect the auto parking machine to work. Right? And that this, you know...
Please insert your parking ticket.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And also make those cashless. Like, how are those still accepting notes?
Do you know what I found was amazing when I had to go to the laundrette the other day? And the reason I was dreading going to the laundrette... First of all, I hadn't been to one in like maybe 10 years, right? And I get down there and I'm like, right, it's late at night. I have to find some money and tokens to put in this machine. I get there, touch and go.
Oh,
very
nice. Even washing machines have it.
Okay,
Why can't 7-Eleven do it? You know, if the washing machine can do it, come
the on. Shade.
The shade. Anyway, final story of the day. Arv, what's this, the Parasite Tour then? Tell me all about this.
Yeah, so it's an actual walking tour that's in Seoul that they've sort of set up, like you know, the tour companies and stuff. They let you go on these walking tours to visit the locations that were used to film the movie Parasite. So a couple of days ago, Parasite won Best Picture at the Oscars. It's the first foreign language film to win that award, the first subtitle film as well. So it is breaking records and it's, you know, it's setting trends and it's changing the way the Oscars work and the way people see movies and stuff. The difference between Parasite and other movies that win the award, like let's say like A Green Mile last year, is that people actually care about Parasite.
Right.
And it has like a pop culture footprint that Green Mile doesn't have, in the sense that, you know, people are cooking the dishes that we saw in the movie. I think you did. You cooked the dish.
And it was
dish.
Delicious.
Yeah. So people are trying to replicate those things. They're trying to visit the locations, they're trying to buy or fold pizza boxes like they do in the movie and stuff. And because of that, what they've done is if you go to Seoul, there are a couple of people offering like the Parasite walking tour. Like just going to one of the websites at visitseoul.net, it has like your sort of, you know, the places you can visit. So it starts with the Woori supermarket, which is where Parasite begins, it says. Then you walk and you go to the stairs that connect to the park residence or park house. It's like these dirty, grimy stairs that you have to walk down and which they keep focusing on again and again in the movie without spoiling anything. And then there's the way back home and it says in the heavy rain. So you can take these stairs, like these long stairs, but it's better to do it if it's raining, because then it seems to add the vibe or the ambience, or you know, just you feeling that the influence of the film itself, right? And then you also have Pizza Age or Sky Pizza. The actual name of it is Pizza Age, but in the movie it's called Sky Pizza, where you can get the pizza boxes and you can sort of visit the location where they went to collect the pizza boxes. So it's all these things that they have sort of set up. Normally in this situation, tourists going to these locations would ruin the place. But the good thing is a large portion of the movie is shot like as is in these locations. So you can sort of follow the footsteps and stuff. And I think that by doing this, this is one of the few movies where it sort of enhances the message of the movie itself.
Right.
Because if you take the tour and you do those walking things, then you see stuff like gentrification, you see the development of buildings, you see how governments look after certain locations and then don't look after other locations. Right. Obviously, you're not going to go to the park house. Like there is the, you know, the what do you call it? Like, the posh living in the movie, and then there's the not so posh or the or the poverty-stricken locations. Of course, it's not seamless. You would have to walk slightly far, but it does show you the way the city changes. For me personally, I did like a walking tour in KL a few years ago. I think I mentioned this a few times with Think City, and it completely changed the way I saw KL. Like, I will never see KL the same way again, even though I've lived here all my life. Seeing the way people live, seeing gentrification, seeing the development of the city and how it sort of changes. It's robust, but it's also very different to different people from different segments in life. If you do the Parasite thing, I think it sort of teaches you that.
Right. Okay, so there's the whole cultural thing, right? And it's not anything new. America's been doing it forever. You hear the song, and I left my heart in San Francisco. Everybody wants to go to San Francisco at that time, right? Or you can make it totally commercial, New Zealand with Hobbit Town and how you want to go, you know, Middle Kingdom.
Or the Warner Brothers studio, you know, for
right?
example.
Oh, well, that's the commercial bit. Like, or Dubrovnik, right? Yeah. Just to go and see where the Game of Thrones was.
Yeah.
Now people go to Singapore for hawker food because they think Crazy Rich Asians, that's where it started.
The one satay stall,
We, you know, and that's the thing, right? What is we're not embracing enough of our own culture, our own storyline. And like in the early days, Gangnam Style, the song, right? Then everybody wants to go to Korea to see where is Gangnam Road, whatever. But you know, where we've got to be proud of these things. We've got great storylines. And hopefully the gardens, the Evening Mist, right? I don't know where it was set in, but maybe that could
Cameron Highlands.
So I mean, but that sort of thing, right? If we are able to, you know, be clever about it and not ruin it. And you don't have to commercialize it on a full scale. Da Vinci Code. Everybody was walking on this trail, this walk, right? So,
well, I mean, I know they are filming a movie about the White Raja over in East Malaysia as well. So I suspect that's probably at some point.
I hope.
Let's hope so. Yeah. You know, is going to put it on the map somewhere. But in terms of like what's been filmed in KL that everybody has seen and wants to relate to and come to visit, what was that film with where they were jumping from the KL towers? And
Catherine Zeta-Jones, Entrapment.
Entrapment,
where
right?
the Twin Towers were in the Malacca River.
That's about the only time that I've seen KL in a major motion picture and gone, oh, I recognize those. Other than that, Not in recent times.
Mm-hmm.
But most times they don't say anything. Like, you know, most times when people visit these places, it doesn't mean anything for them or the places. And, you know, it's just there. Nowadays, it's just there for the Instagram feed.
We have some fantastic backgrounds. KL has some fantastic backgrounds. You know, even like the back end of Bangsar, for example, you know, Happy Gardens or that area as well. Some really interesting stuff. And there's restaurants that are open and been closed down and, you know, for whatever reason. But using that to kind of tell stories, you know, and there are parts of KL, a lot of KL is very similar to how Seoul is portrayed in that movie, you know, glass and steel no more than 50 yards from a building that has almost been knocked down and, you know, it's covered in graffiti and whatever, you know.
It just shows you that sort of divide, right? It's so obvious. And and when you see these kinds of places, then you understand like, whoa, you know, there are certain places that are well looked after and then there are other places that are completely abandoned.
Yeah. Right. On that note, folks, we have to abandon the show.
What a segue.
I know, right? I'm good at this, you know. We've been talking about biggest tech annoyances. We've had a whole bunch of stuff. Network coverage, e-wallets, battery life, touch-and-go cards, tolls, banking apps, banking cards, you name it, we've touched on it.
Printers.
Of course, yes. And then we moved on to a story about...
Oh, highest-paying jobs for 2020.
Then we finish with the Parasite Tour, which is an actual thing.
Right. Stick around. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. The coronavirus has been dominating headlines and causing fear everywhere, from schools to stock markets. How effective have government efforts been at stemming the spread of the illness? And is it possible for scientists and authorities to prevent similar outbreaks in the future? David Quammen, he is the author of Spillover, Animal Infections and the Next Human Pandemic, traveled all over the world studying viruses transmitted from animals to humans. We get his insights on the outbreak and our role in it. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.